Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and this is episode F196. We're almost at F200. Let's get into the words. The first word in this episode is four in hand, three words with hyphens, noun from 1793. Number 1A, a vehicle drawn by a team of four horses driven by one person. So the horses are driven by one person and the vehicle is driven by the horses. So it's a very weird route of the person driving the carriage, the person driving the horses, four in hand. So the one driver has four reins, one rein going to each of the four horses. So it's like they've got four horses in their hand holding on to the horses. I've got four in hand. Number 1B, such a team of four horses. So the four horses of the apocalypse? No, we're not talking about those four, although that would be kind of funny. All four horses of the apocalypse driving a carriage, pulling a carriage, all being controlled by one person, one thing, one being. I don't even know who that would be. Number 2, a necktie tied in a slip knot with long ends overlapping vertically in front. And of course, I must look up a picture of this four-in-hand necktie. Four-in-hand necktie. I'm getting better at typing without looking. It's a simple and popular necktie knot known for its casual and classic look. It's easy to tie and suits various occasions, from social events to semi-formal gatherings. This looks like the normal way, the typical standard way to tie a tie? That's what it looks like to me. There are some very fancy ways to tie ties, and I have not tried those yet, but I am very tempted to try those fancy knots. This one does not seem like a fancy knot. It's the four in hand. Why is it four in hand? Do you have four ends? There's only two ends on a tie. I don't get it. All right. Oh, sound effect time. What was it? Oh, it's going to just be ding dong, I guess. Okay, now we have four letter, two words with a hyphen, adjective from 1897, of relating to or being four letter words, which are ding dong. Four-letter word. This is three words, and there's a hyphen still in between four and letter. Noun, also from 1897, any of a group of vulgar or obscene words, typically made up of four letters. Broadly, a taboo word or topic. Ooh, a topic can be a four-letter word. The example is tax is a four-letter word to him. Which is extra silly, because the word tax is only three letters. So he does not like talking about taxes. He doesn't want to do his taxes. He wants nothing to do with taxes at all ever again. So it's a four-letter topic to him. It's very, very taboo, which is also not a four-letter word. But of course, we are often talking about, well, shit and fuck. Those are four-letter words. Bitch tends to be grouped in with these, but it's not four letters, it's five letters. There is also the word cunt, which some parts of the world quite enjoy this word. That is a four-letter word. Ass is only three letters, also gets lumped in with these four-letter words. Asshole is seven letters. Hole is four letters, but I don't think people are typically putting the word hole in with the four-letter word, so that one doesn't really count. Are there some other ones that I'm not thinking of? The word damn, I mean, I've mentioned that before. That's a four-letter word, but is it a four-letter word? Are you going to group it in with these other taboo, vulgar, obscene words? I don't know. If you have some good four-letter words that you would like to tell me about, you can email me, you can send a voicemail. All of that information is in the show notes, and, you know, I guess I might technically have to call this episode explicit because I've said some bad words, But yeah, we just like to call them four-letter words, which makes no sense, because only like half of them, if that, are four letters. Ooh, a four-letter word. All right, moving on to a ding-a-dong, because now we have 4 o'clock. The word four, hyphen, and then o'clock, which is O apostrophe clock. Clock. Noun from 1756. Are we going to have all of the o'clocks in this dictionary? Probably not. This one is not, has nothing to do with time whatsoever. It's any of a genus of chiefly American annual or perennial herbs having epetalous flowers with a showy involucra simulating a calyx, but especially a garden plant with fragrant yellow, red, or white flowers opening late in the afternoon. And ha ha ha, that is why it is called 4 o'clock, which is late in the afternoon. Okay, let's see. The genus name is Mirabilis. The family name is, whoa, what is this word? Nyctaginaceae. That is the 4 o'clock family. All of the herbs, the annual and perennial herbs that open late in the afternoon, they're part of that family, which I'm not going to say again. Any other interest? Oh, yes. This garden plant that opens, the species name is Mirabilis jalapa, or jalapa, or jalapa. I'm not sure how to say that word. Okay, fantastic. Let's look up a picture of a 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. All right. 4 o'clock. Oh, there it was. 4 o'clock flowers. Here we go. Let's look at it. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And yeah, I guess it opens late in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock. And at that time, when the clock strikes four, it will go maybe ding-dong, which doesn't make any sense. That's actually more of a doorbell sound, but that's okay. We're going to keep going with things that don't make sense. Next is four of a kind. Four words. It's from circa 1934. It doesn't say if it's a noun, but I think it can be called a noun. It is four cards of the same rank in one hand. And you should also go see the poker illustration, because that's where you'll get to see all of this loveliness. You know, it's going to be a long, long time until we get to the poker illustration. So let's just give a quick little look at what that poker illustration looks like. Maybe I can tell you what cards are shown in this four-of-a-kind illustration, poker illustration thing. We are almost there. Okay, so we have all of the poker hands here, and the four-of-a-kind is showing all aces. Four aces of the four different suits, the diamonds, the hearts, the clubs, the spades. It could have been any one of them, but for some reason they decided to show aces. That's aces. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, yep, four of the same rank. It's a four of a kind. It's, I think that's one of the higher level, mid to high level poker hands. Ding dong! Now we have 411. It is the numerals 411. You could also say 411. That was what the band was going to be called, and then they said, no, 311 sounds better. This is a noun from 1985. It is slang. We don't have enough slang words in this dictionary. This is relevant information. The 411 is relevant information. It's not irrelevant. It is important to what we want to know about. The synonym is skinny, as in the example, fiber optic 411 fed 24/7 in satellite real time. And that is a quote from Jeff McGregor. And I feel like they could have come up with a better example. Nothing against what Jeff McGregor said. I'm sure that was very accurate and perfect in that context. But in this context, I feel like it could have been a different one. Fiber optic 411 fed 24/7 in satellite real time. So the relevant information coming in from the fiber optic cables got fed out to the satellites in real time, 24/7, 365. Okay. I tend to think of this as more like, what are people talking about? Give me the 411. Give me the skinny. Give me the information that I really want to know. Give me some hot goss. That's what we want. We want the hot goss. What are those people up to? Why aren't they talking to each other anymore? Ooh, who were they seen in public having a drink with? That's the 411 that we all want to know. All right, this is from the telephone number 411 used to reach directory assistance. Information. Isn't that the number for information? Maybe relevant information? I guess it is it different in different places? I'm trying to find the right keys on the keyboard. What's the number for 411? It's not 911. Don't dial 911. Don't dial 411 when you have an emergency. If you have an emergency in America, dial 911. In other countries, it's 999. But I don't think other countries, if they have an information thing, they're not, it's not 411. Yes, here it says, 411 refers to a directory assistance service. It's the number you dial to get information about phone numbers, addresses, or business listings. We used to just dial zero, and then the operator would come on and be like, hey, what do you want? You want the skinny? Who are you trying to get a hold of? Give me that information. All right, we're done with that one. Ding dong. Now we have 401k. Whoo. It's the numerals 401, and then the K is a lowercase k in parentheses. This is a noun from 1989. It is a retirement account to which employee and employer contribute, on which taxes are deferred until withdrawal, and for which the employee usually selects the type of investments. I have one of these because I am an adult, and I have a regular day job that pays me every 2 weeks, and so a percentage of my paycheck goes into the 401k, and then typically the employer, the company, the bosses, whoever, that the company will also contribute into that 401k. Usually they'll match up to a certain percentage, and you can usually put more than that percentage into your 401k, but the employer isn't going to match that high of a number. And then it just sits there, and a lot of, you know, you can access this online these days, and then you can say, hey, I want my investments to go into these companies, or no, not those companies, because I don't support those. I want them to go into those companies. And then it sort of just adjusts and fluxes and flexes and flexes with the stocks in those sorts of situations. And sometimes it's going up, and sometimes it's going down. And after the 2008 economic bubble pop, everybody lost a lot of their 401k. And recently, with all of these tariff things, the stocks took a big old tank, and so people's 401ks took a big old tank. And so, you know, I've been putting into it for a while, and I would like more in it, but, you know, it just sort of goes ups and downs. And then I guess I don't have to pay taxes on it until I start taking it out, which I'm going to hold off for as long as possible. I'm going to try to be as old as I possibly can before I start taking money out of my 401k. I'm just going to forget that it's there. Like, I literally might forget that it's there. So, why is it called 401k? That is because this is from the section of the Internal Revenue Code that established it. The Internal Revenue Code is probably gigantic. This is section 401 and then probably a subset K. So how many sections are, did they start at section 1 and they got all the way up to section 401? And then how many sub things on there? They probably started with A under 401 and got all the way to K. And are there more? This internal revenue code has got to just be ridiculous, and I don't ever want to read it. All right. Ding dong. Now we have 4-peat. It's the number 4 with a hyphen and then P-E-A-T. This is a noun from 1989. It is a 4th consecutive championship. And 4-peat is also an intransitive verb. So where does this come from? Well, it says it is from the number 4 plus peat from 3-peat. But where does 3-peat come from? It's repeat again. A repeat would be twice. And so they're like, well, what if you do it 3 times? It's a 3-peat. And then we're just going to start making up these words. A 4-peat, a 5-peat. Well, I mean, I definitely remember around this time, the Chicago Bulls, my team, they had a 3-peat. They had 2 3-peats. They had double 3-peat, not back-to-back. But who had the 4-peat at that time? Do we need to look that up? Why in 1989 did we start using 4-peat? I thought 3-peat started with the Bulls, but I don't think it was in 1989. 4-peat, and then let's type in 1989. Whoo, let's see. The term 4-peat began to be used referring to winning something 4 times in a row. While the term itself emerged in 1989, it wasn't specifically associated with the Chicago Bulls dynasty at that time. But they didn't ever do a 3-peat, I don't think. So they pre-created this term. Fascinating. I'm sure some team has done a 4-peat, but I don't know who. Ding dong! Next is 4-plex, one word, noun from 1952. It is a building that contains 4 separate apartments. A 4-plex. Well, this probably comes from duplex. Because, well, I don't know plex, though. Why plex? I guess we'll wait till the P's. Duplex is like a house on that side and a house on that side, and there's a wall in the middle. And maybe you can create some sort of knocking code system so you can communicate with your neighbors. 4-plex, building, 4 apartments, that's all you gotta know. 4-plex, ding dong. Next is 4-poster, 2 words with a hyphen. Noun from 1837. It is a bed with tall, often carved corner posts originally designed to support curtains or a canopy. Back in the day, before 1837, and maybe after 1837, People had fancy curtains, fancy canopies. You know, I think of A Christmas Carol. The Ebenezer Scrooge definitely had a 4-poster bed, but he had curtains, because in that old black and white movie, he had curtains, so he could close the curtains and hide from the ghosts, which is very, very important. But then at a certain point, I guess people were like, we ghosts aren't real, so we don't need to hide from ghosts, so we don't need the curtains. But we do like these posts. We like these fancy carved posts. There's 4 of them around the bed. And so those are very nice. We'll keep the posts. And we'll call it a good old 4-poster. What's the point? As decorative. Ding dong! Next is fourragère. F-O-U-R-R-A-G-E-R-E. And the second to last E has the grave accent that goes pew. Noun from 1919. It is a braided cord worn usually around the left shoulder, but especially such a cord awarded as a decoration to a military unit. So if you see people with this fancy cord around their left shoulder, does it go this way? Does it go this way? I don't know which way it goes. But if you see people, you can be like, oh, look at that fourragère you got there. You must have done something very fancy or brave or whatever to get that fourragère. And they'd be like, what? I thought it was just a fancy cord. But where does this word come from? It's clearly French. It is the feminine of foragère, spelled just a little bit differently. And that means of forage, from forage, which means forage. So if you go around foraging for mushrooms and you find some good mushrooms, some rare mushrooms, some tasty mushrooms, then you might get this fancy braided cord. But I don't understand how this is connected to foraging exactly. Apologies for that. Ding dong! Next is fourscore, one word. Adjective from the 13th century. Bean, 4 times 20. And the synonym is 80. E-I-G-H-T-Y. 80. What's that spell? 80. 4 times 20 is 80. Fourscore is 80 because score is 20 and 4 is 4. So, of course, I don't think this would be in the dictionary if Abraham Lincoln hadn't been talking about it.
420 years ago.
Wait, that's not the phrase, because that would be 50. What does his speech say? 40 speech. Let's just look up that. The Gettysburg Address, of course. He was addressing the town of Gettysburg. All right, let's find. Here we go. 47 years ago, of course. I should have known that.
40. I think this is how Lincoln sounded. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new... He's a little bit of a Kennedy. On this continent, a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Don't know where he went with that. So there's a few different versions. I don't understand the Bliss copy, the Nicolay copy, the Hay copy, the Everett copy, the Bancroft copy. Why are all there these different versions? I guess if I read this, I would find out. He was talking about 80 plus 7. 87 years ago. He didn't want to say 87 because back in the 1863, they talked fancy. And you'd say fourscore. 4-poster and 7 beds ago. Okay, 4-score. Yeah, I got nothing else. It's what Lincoln said, and we wouldn't really care so much about this phrase, this one word, if it weren't for Lincoln. So thanks, Lincoln. The most important thing you ever did was bring the word 4-score to our lives.
Ding dong!
Next is foursome. It is a noun from the 14th century, number 1A. A group of 4 persons or things, and the synonym is quartet. If there are 4 instrumentalists playing their instruments, then they would be a foursome. 4 singers. 4 anythings is a foursome. Number 1B. 2 couples. 2 couples. What are they doing? Maybe they're out having a dinner, a double date, maybe, and so they're a foursome. They might be doing other things later, but that's for you to think about. Number 2, a golf match in which 2 players compete against 2 others, with players on each side taking turns playing 1 ball. Oh, interesting. Broadly, any golf match involving 4 players. So if there's a golf match with 4 players, they are a foursome, that group. And the golf match would be a foursome. And didn't we have something in the previous episode about 4, let's see, where was it? It was a 4-something, and it was all about the golfers, again, but I don't know where it is. But in this context, it's saying that players on each side taking turns playing 1 ball. So if your partner, you and your partner, one of them hits the ball, but then the other partner pops in to hit that ball again, so there's only 2 balls going at once, 1 for one pair and 1 for another pair. Is that how it works? I guess so. I don't know. I don't do the golf. But yeah, typically when we hear foursome, we think of golf. People golfing.
Ding dong.
Next is foursquare. One word, adjective from the 14th century. Number one, the synonym is square, because a square has four sides. So does a rectangle. So does a diamond. So do other shapes. But when you're using four square, you're talking about a square. Number two, marked by boldness and conviction, the synonym is forthright, as in a four-square hero. Da-da-da-da, four-square hero, because I'm so forthright and I have boldness and conviction. Four-square. Why are we using four-square for this context? Boldness and conviction? I don't know. Is it because they're a square? What's the four? Why? Four-square is also an adverb. What they did not have in here, which makes me very sad, is the game Foursquare. When I was a child, elementary school and junior high, we would play Foursquare, usually during recess. It was a small little area that was a square with maybe with chalk or tape or paint or whatever, and that square was then divided into four smaller squares, and you would play with four people who were each standing in their own square. And you'd play with like a kickball kind of thing. It was, you know, probably, I don't know, whatever that is, 10, 12 inches, one of those red balls. And how did it work? You would bounce the ball. One person would start and they would bounce the ball to somebody else's square. And there were probably rules about, do you have to bounce it in your square first or their square first? I don't remember. And then they would bounce it to somebody else. And then if the ball got past you, then you would be... you'd be either knocked out or you would have to go to the other square. I can't remember all the rules. And of course, everybody would have their own sets of rules, like you could bobble it or you can't bobble it, or you know, all those sorts of things. How many times can you bounce it before you got to pass it? So many rules. But I remember once in junior high, somebody bounced the ball at me and I went to run and get it and I didn't get it, and that ball kept on rolling. That ball was rolling and rolling and rolling, and I was chasing it. And it was that kind of chase where you're like leaning forward. And I was like, I had to keep on running just not to fall, just to not lose my balance. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And I think my body was just leaning, 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 and my legs were going run, 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 just to keep up. And then I think finally I just biffed it. I just went down in front of everybody, and that ball was gone. That ball was a goner. Four square, good times. Ding dong. Next we have, let's see. Oh, it's our last word. It's four star. Two words with a hyphen. Adjective from 1921. It is of a superior degree of excellence, as in a four-star French restaurant. But what I don't appreciate is all of these different types of things around the world that use star rating systems, and there's no consistency. Is it on a 3-star scale, a 4-star scale, a 5-star scale, a 10-star scale? Usually they're 4 or 5, but a 4-star French restaurant is great. That's the highest level, but are hotels going by 4 stars or are they going by 5 stars? Podcast ratings are on 5 stars. A lot of movie ratings are 5 stars, but sometimes they're 4 stars. Sometimes they're 10 stars. So, obviously, this is a 5-star podcast, unless it's being compared to French restaurants, and then it's definitely a 4-star podcast with really fancy, awesome food. I have some chips over there. Those are some 4-star foods. I would like you to rate this. Not 4 stars. It's got to be 5 stars. All right. This is from the number of asterisks used to denote relative excellence in guidebooks, plural. So back in the day, they weren't using actual stars to say how good a thing was when they were talking about the restaurants. When the guidebooks were talking about restaurants, they would put asterisks to denote how good they were, so they became stars. And I don't know, maybe that was their way of rating them, but I wonder if it started with a different meaning. Okay, well, those are all the words that you're going to get out of me today. I guess I'm not allowed to say any more words because I said that phrase. No, let's keep on talking. But I need to pick a word of the episode. So today we had four in hand, four letter word, 4 o'clock, four of a kind, 411, 401k, 4-peat, 4-plex, 4-poster, 4-ager, 4-score, 4-some, 4-square, and 4-star. Which one is going to be the word of the episode? This is very difficult because they were all so wonderful. They treated me so nicely. They all gave me 5-star reviews. Let's see. Just doing a quick little looky-loo. I shall pick. I guess I'll pick 4-star. This podcast isn't 4 stars. It's definitely 5 stars. This podcast is 5 stars. Give it the 5 stars. Woo woo. Fantastic. Guess what? I forgot to tell you about a movie in the last episode, and I felt so sorry. I cried myself to sleep afterwards. So that next movie was Final Destination 5. Yes, it was. Let's go mark it off the list so I don't forget. And I quite enjoyed this. I believe that the previous movie, The Final Destination, didn't do so great. I don't think it really got a lot of 4-star reviews out of 5. Maybe it got some 4-star reviews out of 10. And they said, we are going to really need to step up this next one. And they did a good job with that. It's hard to pick if I like number 2 or 5 better. Number 2 was funnier. Number 5 was actually pretty serious. Not so much comedy. And I do like the comedy, so I would probably pick 2, but I gotta watch them again, which I may never do. I don't know. But yeah, I think they did a good job with this one. It starts with a bridge. And I don't remember all the details at the moment, but it's worth a watch. If you like the Final Destination concept, this is definitely one of the better ones, I believe. I still haven't seen the 6th one. When I do, you'll hear about it. All right, this is the end of the episode. Thank you. I appreciate you so much for listening to this on audio, you know, the Spotify, the Apple, or watching the videos where you get to see me and my shirts and my faces and other things. And go ahead and share it and subscribe and do all of those things. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.